Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. I didn't like that snow and cold you was in there and everything. I moved to Florida and get away from that. But praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm reminded of what's going on. It's a lot going on at the church right now. And I know the spring is program was mentioned in reference to the, as far as the Sunday school revolution really kicking in. Had a good report from the teens and Sunday schools, and brother Chris Fox out on the road, and new churches visiting, and pastor books going out in different places, and people getting excited about those books. Got some good reports coming in from there. The meeting going on in Georgia tonight, tomorrow night, and ladies' conference coming up. Let's see, 21 days from tomorrow, and the Knights of Hope. Pastor going to start that back up also, and then the 12 Stones started back up. And I mean, that Galatians 6 ministry, those fall under there. So it's a lot going on. It's a lot of good things going on. And of course, you know, there's a spiritual warfare, of course, I know, in your homes and in your lives. And when God's doing his business, the devil kind of like does his business too, you know. But so we need to just stay encouraged and stay focused and continue to trust the Lord to take care everything for us. Might want to call you to pray a little bit tonight for some of those things, especially the meeting that's going on up there. I think Brother Jackson's up there as well. Really good meeting, really good report from there. It's a lot of great reports coming in that you know you don't get to hear about right now. And so I believe with the Hope Knights of Hope's coming up, and what I'm going to talk about tonight is crucial. Without it, none of this is going to be effective and efficient. None of this is going to have the power of God on it. People are not going to be helped, strengthened. We can end up having a lot of friendly fire, if you know what friendly fire means. And so we really need to listen in on the study tonight. And if you'll listen fast, I'll try to preach fast and go through the study fast. I want to have you turn to a few passages, but I want to pull something from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 there. Now, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, you got Paul in the beginning. He's letting them know that, you know, he's a steward of God's ministry. You know, it's just he, you know, let a man, if you actually you go back to, in context, you go back to chapter 3 where Paul is saying, you're not spiritual. You're carnal. You're not spiritual. I can't give you meat. I have to continue to give you milk. You should be having meat by now, but you're still on milk. And I want us to look into actually chapter 4, verse 21. But in context, you can't leave out what's going on in chapter 3 with, you know, everybody where I'm for Apollo, I'm from Paul, I'm from Peter. You know, it just was a lot of immaturity going on there. And Paul comes into chapter 4 and he says, you know, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. And he wraps it back up again in verse 10 about, you know, he's weak and he goes through some of the things he's going through. And what I want to pull out tonight, in verse 21, let's read it. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Remember now, he's dealing with a church that's not very spiritual. Are in love and in the spirit of meekness. I want to deal with that spirit of meekness. And I know people said meekness is not weakness, but Paul let us know he's weak up in verse 10. And I think when we do that and we say that, I think we really don't give meekness what is due, because usually the weak person is the meek person, because the weak person is when God's strength come through. You know, Paul with the thorns, you know, when we weak, that's when God is strong and he show himself strong through us. Sometimes we just too strong and God's not able to show himself strong through us. And there's some pride in that. And Paul mentions here about them being puffed up, I believe, in verse, this is kind of fresh, so we got to just put together in verse 15, I think. No, he instruct them. They're his sons, his children, you know, and he sent Timothy towards them to encourage them, to let them know how, in verse 17. But in verse 18, he let them know some are puffed up. That's that pride. And the spirit of a church is very important. And I want to deal with a meek church, being a meek church. And when you're a meek church, you first of all, you're spiritual. It's a spiritual church. And I sense, you know, we have a meek church here. And this would be something to help us to just pay attention to as we continue to go forward, that we can kind of stay meek. And meekness is not something you kind of like master, because it's the outcome of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the fruit of the Spirit, meaning it's the results of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, you don't want to be too strong and think you really got it together when you're dealing with meek, you know, because if you feel that way, you're really not meek. But we want to be a meek church. And to be a meek church, there's some requirements. There's some things to consider. But there's a lot of benefits to people when we're a meek church. And so I want to jump into that. I want to pull that word, the spirit of meekness, out of there. And I guess if it's a title, it would be being a meek church. And I'll say this before I pray. A meek church is a church with humility. Humility. Humility can be just, I give you a definition, but it's like having a clear recognition of who and what you are. You know, not thinking you're something you're not, not being high-minded, thinking more of yourself than you ought to. So humility has a lot to do with just kind of really knowing who you are, but at the same time knowing what you can become and what you can be with the grace of God and the power of God working in your life. That's the other part of humility that we leave out sometimes. Knowing what God can do. It's just a church that is meek. A meek church is not full of itself. And you got to be careful about that. The direction we're going, how we're growing and getting more influence. We don't want to stick our chests out, and we don't want to be like, well, come, let us show you how to do it. Let us show you, you know, let me show you how it's supposed to be done. I mean, we got to be careful about that. And we have to continue to let God show people through us. Is that right? You guys got that? All right, I'm just saying, I've been on both sides, and I've been out, and you know, let me show you how you do it, how we do it, and this and that. Well, how about showing how God does it? And so we don't want to get full of ourselves as we continue to go forward here. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the thought of a meek church. There's not many meek churches that I run across today, but thank you for this church being a meek church. And Lord, sort of don't want to preach to the choir. I just want to study this thought of being a meek church out tonight, see some of the benefits of it. I pray you'll bless us and you'll help us as you continue to move us forward and give us more influence as a church, our pastors, more influence, and the staff, as we will be engaging more into churches and staffs and training. And I just pray you'll keep us meek along the way so that you can continue to do great, mighty things through us and to us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind. Okay, we're talking about meek. Lowliness of mind. A deep not a shadow, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness. Okay, this is a great definition out of West 1828, in the sight of God. So it's a deep sense of my own unworthiness in the sight of God. That's why we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift us up. And so this humility is a, watch it, it's submission to the divine will. So you find yourself in the sight of God, and you find yourself there in the sight of God in submission to his will. Okay? And so I think that's great. So submission has to do with being yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's why I say being a meek church is a spiritual church. Being a meek person is that's a spiritual person. And that is a healthy church when the church is meek. Pastor been dealing with the subject of a healthy church. Now, submission, again, is important here. Webster 1828 defined meekness as this, a softness of temper, like temperament. I know we all have personality, but the temperament, okay, the temperament can overpower the personality many times. And so this meek person has a certain temperament. And what gives them that temperament is the yielding to the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so Wesley has it kind of figured out. He said forbearing under injuries. So you're forbearing under injuries or provocation. You know what that means? When you get provoked, they push your buttons, nothing comes out. And it's like you're not easily provoked. So that deals with love. And the Apostle Paul said to them in verse 21, with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness. So there's a combination there. And so it's sort of like a domino effect, what that love does. It kind of, that love gives you that gentle spirit when you love somebody. Okay, and love covers a multitude of sin, and you know, and love never fails, and you know, knowledge lift up, but charity, you know, edifies. And so the love works together with the meekness. The meekness doesn't work alone by itself. There has to be a love there. Like Moses had a love for those people he brought that God used him to bring out of Egypt, that church in the wilderness. So Moses would always find himself in a position where he had to use meekness. Okay? And so meekness is very important here. Now, someone said this. And I had to write this down. Meekness is giving in, and not making an issue of it. Wouldn't that be nice in our marriages and our parenting? Not making an issue of it, giving in. You know, husband, wife, just giving in and not making an issue of it. Church members, even though it's not the way you would do it, not the way we would have it, not the color we would pick, not the food or whatever, but just giving in and not making an issue of it. You with me, church? All right, now, I don't know why God wanted me to preach this. Not so much preach it, but actually just study it a little bit, study it out, and look at ourselves, because we're going to need to be meek as we grow, because the Bible teaches in Psalms that the Lord God can guide. He guides and teach the meek. And see, we need God to continue to guide our church. That's why it's a spirit yielding, spirit submission, going going to God, like Solomon, you know, I'm like a little child, don't know how to go out, don't know how to go in, and let God guide you. Okay? So God guides the meek. He teaches the meek. Okay? And so we want God to continue to guide us and give us those divine appointments and different things like you had out there, you know, the teens had, and the Sunday schools is having, and just it's just soul winning and just everything. It's just happening that way right now. The opposite of meekness, and we don't have to go far, I won't be long, but the opposite, I got my little time on my wrist, it vibrates. And usually I'm like, what's that? And then I figure it out, it's shut up. Okay, so we're good. We're good. The opposite of meekness is discord. Remember, God hates that. And when we saw discord among the brethren, okay? And so that is the opposite of meekness. Meekness is the result of the Holy Spirit. Discord is the result of the flesh. When I'm for Paul, and I'm Peter, I'm Apollos. That's that discord. That's like Martha and, not Martha. Yeah, Martha, but I didn't mean Martha. I meant Miriam and Aaron. When they came to Moses about the Ethiopian woman, but can God speak to us, only Moses, whatever? Discord. Okay? But right there in chapter 12 of Numbers, God said that Moses was the meek man among all the meekest. Among all the men at that time. So Moses knows how to deal with that. And Moses would throw himself in between them and God when God called them all out, like a lubricant to smooth out the friction. So Moses would throw himself there and you know, to diffuse, if you would, the bomb, the you know what I mean? I mean, the explosives. And then God would listen, but God still did what he had to do in that situation. But in the end, Miriam was okay. Okay? But and so what happened is that I come back to that thought, I'm a little ahead of myself there. But that's that discord. And when you have discord, you have to know how to handle that, mom, dad, right? You're going to be some discord with the siblings, you know, among siblings or parenting, husband, wife is going to, you know, that's going to happen. And the devil is the provoker. Satan provoked David to number Israel. God had built that army from 400 to 1.5 million. There's no reason for David to go count. God's doing well. He's handling things. But the devil provoke us when we start to grow and we start to go and we start to, you understand what I'm saying? And we have to know how to diffuse that among ourselves. So, therefore, a meek church is like a lubricant. Lotion, motor oil, you know, you put that oil in the car to take the friction. It's like a lubricant. Having the ability to negotiate. Not compromise, negotiate. And see, and what we need is more spouses that know how to negotiate with one another. Parents and children able to negotiate. Okay? And that's gentleness and mildness. You understand what I'm saying? That's a different spirit, all right? And again, it's like a lubricant, this meek church, having the ability to negotiate. That means to deal and bargain. And some of y'all, I know, you good salespeople, business, and you can deal and bargain real good in business, all right? Well, we got to learn how to do that also with one another in church, all right, in our family, not just out at the workforce, all right, in the job site. So you're able to do that with others without causing more friction. Everybody get that? I'm going to read through that again because this you don't want to miss this. A meat church is like a lubricant, having the ability to negotiate with others without causing friction. Takes a humble person. You know, when you humble, you really don't want to fight. When you're really broken and humble, you know, and you know what I mean? When you really, you're not looking for no fight. You're not looking for no stress, no blood pressure. You just, you know what I mean? Just give in, don't make a big issue of it. That's what we need. Meet church. Stay meet. It smooths things out. Meet church. It diffuses, like I said, the bomb, the explosive member temperament. Some of us have a strong temperament, can be hot temper. Well, there needs to be someone that know how to diffuse that. Soft answer turns away wrath. We understand that. But we need soft again. That's that lubricant. We need somebody to know how to remove the friction. Be a lubricant. That's what Moses did when he went before God for Aaron and Miriam. You know your Bibles, right? That's what ladies, and I don't like to leave you out. That's what Abigail did when she went to David and fell down. Took the blame on herself to take the friction out, to smooth it out, to diffuse the bomb. He was enraged. 400 men coming, he was mad. And so Abigail would be considered a meek woman, meek enough that the servant could come to her. The servant couldn't go to her husband, Boaz. He wouldn't listen. But a meek person is approachable. Come unto me, all ye. Laban and heavy burden, you with me? Now, this is a little fresh, so I'm not worried about the flow of the outlines or that kind of stuff. But you need to get this fact that we need to be meek. We need to really consider this spiritual, the spirituality of this. This is not just doing a spiritual thing. This is being spiritual. Now, all of us do spiritual things. Choir, orchestra, serve, security, Sunday school teachers. We do a lot of spiritual stuff, play instrument, but are we spiritual? There's a difference. And so, a meek church does this also, leverage the load. Remember, God said, come unto me, all you heavy. What Jesus is going to do, he's going to balance the load. They're going to balance the load. If they need somebody over in the 12 stones, somebody's going to go over there to balance that load. Maybe they have to platoon it. Maybe have to be, okay, one week out of a month. But a meek church, get to that place. Don't have to be asked 6-7 times. The help is needed in the nursery. Okay? Because meekness balances the load. It's like load bearing. Okay? Forbearing and load bearing. And what the meek person does is control the friction, avoid the friendly fire, and again, balance the loads. All right? And so we need more of that. Sunday schools. We need more of that in our ministry. We need at home, everybody should work together to balance the load. So that's where meekness come in. And so it's important. And that's the humility, knowing who and what I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. You know, that's part of humility as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just here to receive. I'm here to give. It's just the way that works when you talk about humility. You think about humility, and I want you to think about this, and then I'm going to have you turn somewhere. Think about, who was I thinking about? The prodigal. Remember the prodigal's son went out, came back. We big about how the father was there looking and the compassion and ran to him and kissed him and everything. And that's the meekness too. But that elder brother, how did the father deal with the elder brother that didn't even want to come into the party? He went out and entreated him. He went out and he was gentle with him. He was like a lubricant. He took the friction out. He diffused it. Are you with me? Now, that's what we need to be. Not gossip about it. Not call someone, let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you what I saw in the parking lot. Let me tell you what was happening in the pew behind me. And I don't see that in our church, but I'm just saying, somebody needs to be meek, like Abigail, proactive. And I thought about somebody else was like that. I don't remember who it was. I should, you know, like I said, it's a little too fresh. I should have wrote down some of that stuff. But Jesus is a perfect example. Jesus Christ, amen? Look how he dealt with Martha. Martha, Martha. Look how he dealt with the two, James and John, when the call down fire. You don't know what spirit you are. You got to look at how Jesus dealt with these personalities, this type A personality, Peter. Meekness is all through the Bible. I mean, how you like to be Moses? Jewish people? He was bringing them out? Over a million of them? And that's who Jesus had to deal with. And look how meek he was. Okay? And that's what we need more of. When we have more of that, it's less me trying to prove I'm right or me trying to prove you're wrong. It's like you just give in and don't make an issue of it. What's the big deal? And so with that said, turn over to 2 Timothy. We'll finish up on this. And I think you got the message. And part, this is it, a meek church sacrificially, pastor been using that word a lot, I notice it keeps coming out, sacrificially throws itself into the life of others, into the life of others in your Sunday school class and at the bus ministry and whatever, in the school, academy, in the college. I mean, if it's somebody in the college need you in their life for whatever purpose, the meek person throws themselves, if you would, in the midst of that to smooth things out, to diffuse it. And so I want you to see something here that it won't take long for you to see about the benefits of this meek, if you would, this meek church. A meek person. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I know you've seen this and you know all this, but now that we're kind of digging a little deep, let's put it all together and see the benefit of a meek church. All right? First one, look at 2 Timothy 2:24. Let me show you the first benefit. And the servant of the Lord must not, that is, strive. But be what? Unto who? Oh, all men. All men. The first benefit of a meek church is they receive all men. I'm not going to turn you away at the door because of how you look, how you smell, whatever. They receive you. See, Jesus said, come unto me. He received everybody that came unto him. You understand what I'm saying? The meek person receives others. In this case, you're receiving somebody that's hurting, someone that's, you know, they really need help. And so the first thing you see, it says this, all men, apt to teach, patient, and watch verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So you receive them so you can give them the instruction they need. Okay? So meek people, you know, they receive people. It's an acceptance. They can accept you like you are, who you are, no matter your race or age or whatever, they can receive you, okay? So you can be helped, all right? And then the second thing you see there is verse 25, in the meekness, instructing one another. And that's like that word instructing has to do with like training up a child. And that's what Paul was dealing with there in chapter 3 and 4, you know, spiritual children. And not spiritual children, carnal children. It wasn't, they was little babes, spiritually saying. Those that oppose themselves, that means they're against themselves. They're hurting themselves. They might be hurting themselves with drugs, with alcohol, with pornography, anything. Could be hurting their marriage, hurting their children, parents. I mean, they're just hurting themselves. And they come to the church for help. We receive them. And then the second thing here, what happens is this. If God, preventer, would give them what? They can repent. A lot of people don't repent because they never get to a place of repentance. What do you mean? I mean, how can somebody repent if I'm yelling in their ear? I'm just pulling them on the nose. I'm yelling. Every time they come to me, I'm ripping their face off. And we call it tough love. So receiving someone, give them, put them more in that place of repentance. And then instruction, biblical instruction, kind of like, see, you even need it, repentance. But if we're not gentle, if we're not meek, they might not get to that place. We're not patient, meek, like the Bible says here. Apt, mean ready and have the ability to teach them. You understand what I'm saying? Then they might not get to a place of repentance. You're not trying to make them repent. Because if you do, then you're going to put conditions on your love. Conditions on your meekness. You understand what I'm saying? God takes care of that. We just do our part by being meek. And when we are, people are received and people repent. They repent. Now look at the third thing. Look at verse 26. Now I know you know all this, but let's just put it together. Verse 26, and that they may what? Recover themselves out of the snares of the devil who have taken them at his will. Now here's the thing. They need to get to a place of repentance so they can recover. But if we don't receive them, then they don't get to the place of repentance so they can recover. They remain sick in their soul, their mind, wills, emotion, physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever. And so meek churches have people that the word just get out that church receives you. Because Brother Day, you might know, I mean, it's people out there like, man, I'm not going to the church because they're not going to receive me. But when the word get out through 12 Stones, Night of Hope, through Sunday school, bus drive, when the word just get out that, man, Emmanuel Baptist Church, they will receive you. They won't set you in the corner. They won't make all you sit together. You know, they receive you. The Sunday school class down there, that Spanish Sunday school, they'll receive you, okay? They receive Spanish. They don't mind if the Spanish outgrow the English. You with me? Now, I've been at churches where they got a problem with that. And so we got to keep them so they don't outgrow. We don't have that problem with our pastor. You know, right? Now, so you see that? You got to see it, right? Did I read it? Okay, such a one. Now, let me show you this last one, and then we're done. And look at Galatians 6:1. And you know this. You know this. I look at this and I think about the Coast Guard when we used to rescue people. We just didn't select who was going to rescue or not rescue. We would rescue them, get them out of the water. We would help them to recover. Then we would kind of do this next thing. Okay? And this is what God does. This is what Jesus came to do, all of these. I just don't have time to get into all that. But look at Galatians 6:1, and I understand you know this, but this is what we have to be or remain or grow more in it. Brethren, everybody's there? Verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Meek. Ye which are meek. Restore. See, because the meek one's going to receive them. The meek one is not going to try to make them repent. They're just going to be gentle, patient, apt to teach me, look for an opportunity to say, oh, yeah, this is why we do it that way. Not going to kill them with doctrine right up front. You know what I'm saying? They're just going to, they know how to, that's that meek person. They're going to answer them softly. And so they're going to give them the opportunity to repent, and they're going to allow them to recover a little bit before they start trying to give them some strong meat. They're going to let them recover a little bit before they start trying to make them do, maybe work the bus route or something. You know what I mean? Let them usher a little bit. Let them, you know, greet a little bit. Let them do some, straighten out the Bibles. Let them, you know, let them do, and you know, understand, you guys with me? So he's talking to the meek one. And he said, look, the meek one, spiritual, restore such a one in that spirit of meekness you have. That spirit of meekness you have, use that so they can be restored. And he says this, considering who? For the grace of God, there go I. But for the grace of God, I'm that homeless person. But for the grace of God, I'm that drunk, that drug addict. But for the grace of God, I'm that prisoner. I'm in that jail. You with me? All right, and so in closing, that's what we got to look at here. This was that in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest I also be tempted. So a meek church is a spiritual church. It is a healthy church that's able to help someone else become healthy, spiritual. And that's what we want to be. So I want to ask you tonight to consider coming and praying a little bit for where Pastor at right now with the Great Commission mission that's going on there. It's really going good. People are getting a hold of this thing. And for the Knights of Hopes that's getting ready to start back up. By next month, we're in full, and the spring, if you will, the spring program, which is part of the Sunday School Revolution. You see what's going on in the Sunday School. And for the teens and what you saw out there with the teens, and just for us to be meek. And let's go home and practice it. Let's practice that at home, young people, okay? Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill, parents, okay? Be apt to teach, not apt to force. But so let's stand to our feet.